Amen.
We live in a time of almost unparalleled questioning of authority. The trust we once had in the various institutions that undergird our society has almost completely eroded, and with it, the authority they once had in our lives. Approval of and trust in government, from the local level to the national stage, polls at all-time lows. Our faith in big businesses has proven misplaced, as there seems to be a new corporate scandal almost every week. Banks are no longer trusted. The authority of police and the legal system are ebbing lower all the time. The scientific community is constantly questioned, and even the church, plagued by its own scandals in recent decades, lacks the authority and surety it once held dear. So the question put to Jesus in this week's gospel passage rings as relevant today as it was in its own time. When Jesus enters the temple, the priest and the elders come up to him and say, "What authority do you have, and who gave it to you? God or man?" It was a potent question, because they were in a place not unlike ours, in which their faith in all institutions had failed. You see, they were a people who remained faithful to the rituals of their tradition, but their faith in God was actually pretty low. At the time of Jesus, it had been more than 400 years since the writings of the last prophet. There's a giant time gap in that one page it takes us to flip from the Old Testament in our Bible to the New. So the idea that God had directly given Jesus authority was met with some skepticism. But they also had little faith in their human institutions. Their government was run by foreign powers, people unlike them, who only sought to oppress them. Their financial system was run by people they considered traitors, who sought their own gain at the expense of their countrymen. And even their temple was run by a group that seemed to only make their lives harder with the piling on of rules and obligations they didn't really understand and could barely hope to follow. So there was really no good answer for Jesus to give here. And so Jesus gives no answer. Only his presence, his teaching in the parable, his miracles, and the example of the life he lived among them. The answer to where Jesus' authority comes from, God or man, is in some sense both. Jesus' authority comes from the fact that he was a man, living the very life of God on earth, seamlessly and without fail. That's the only answer he needs to give. Stanley Hauerwas, a great ethicist who teaches at Duke, writes, "The attempt to establish grounds more determinative than Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection for why we should believe in him results always in idolatry." Jesus is the standard, the source, the very ground of faith itself. Full stop. That is where his authority comes from. I am more convinced with each passing public scandal and each successive set of poll numbers about declining trust in our institutions that what we as a culture need is for the church to remember the example of Jesus and begin to embody it in the world. The church will need to help lead us back as a community, to a place where we believe there is authority in this world worth following. But we will have to do it in the way Jesus taught us, and it will be hard. As the theologian Douglas John Hall once wrote, "Anyone who has ever truly lived and interacted with the church knows two things. First, the church is God's chosen instrument for accomplishing God's plan in the world. And second, that instrument has always seemed to have been broken or at least poorly calibrated. Even 2,000 years ago, as Paul wrote to the church in Philippi that he had only founded a few years before, but now it was bickering at each other's throat, tearing down the body of Christ while undermining its own authority to proclaim the good news in its own community. He warned them that they could never lead the world to Christ the way they were acting. And he said, "It's time to remember how Jesus led and to follow his example." And then he spells that out for them. He exhorts them with the example of Christ, trying to get them to ask themselves these sorts of difficult questions. Do we serve others more than we serve ourselves? In other words, does our community exist for us or for those outside our walls? Because Jesus' whole life was given over for others. And even if we can manage that, do we do it humbly in the example of Jesus? Are we obedient to God's call, even when it costs us something? Or are self-preservation and survival our highest goals? Because we would have no gospel at all if Jesus' greatest values had been self-preservation or survival. And can we put aside selfish ambition for the sake of God's plan for us? Do we strive to love and be of one mind as an authoritative example of what real community looks like? Because Jesus was never about self-promotion or individuality, and his community cannot be about either if they want to bear his name and example. The rapid succession of Paul's remarks here make it clear just how hard the standard would be for any community to live up to. And yet, that's exactly what he expects. And it's what the world needs. Our world actually needs someone to carry authority, to point the way forward. It needs communities it can trust to remind it how to live. That serving and caring for others is what makes a person truly human in the image of God. A community that models how to treat one another. That community itself is a higher value than individuality. And a place to teach the world how to make meaning. That following God is of greater worth than accumulating the accolades and wealth of the world that is ever-changing but always passing away. The question for churches of every age is, will the church be that example? Can the world see Christ in us? Is it clear where our authority comes from? From living out every day the lessons learned from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that's at the very heart of our story. The truth is, it's a tall order, and some days I'm not sure we can do it. But it's at least a worthy goal for us as a community and as individuals to live into the example of Jesus and constantly point the way back to him. Our Anglican counterparts in South Africa have a word they use for this type of ideal community. They use the African word Ubuntu. And for them, it captures the essence of being human, but still made in the image of God in community. Desmond Tutu writes, "Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, you are known for your generosity, humility, and openness to others. We think of ourselves far too frequently as individuals, separated from one another, whereas you are connected and what you do affects the whole world. When you live this way well, he says, it spreads out. It is for the whole of humanity. That's what living in the authority of Christ would look like. Our authority must be of both God and human origins. We must be a very human community, a place with scars that people can see and relate to and believe that they can be a part of, even with their own broken lives. But also a place where people make mistakes and are forgiven, so that people outside want to belong, want to be here, and long for the forgiveness that we offer. A place where the contributions that every individual makes, from the small child to the elderly adult, is prized and makes us more whole, so that the world outside is drawn to come and offer all of who they are to our common life. It's a tall order, but it's the only way of being a church that is worthy of the example of the Christ who stands at our center. This is what the church has been called to since its very beginning, since the writing of Paul and the apostles. And in the modern world that questions every authority and eschews all institutions, it's the type of community we must learn to be if we are to lead people back to relationship with the living God embodied in our communion. May God empower us all to become one in such a community in Him. Amen.